You're listening to Foundations of Faith, an FFC equipping podcast course. Travis Walker and Adam Bailey will walk you through this four-part course designed to equip and cement you in the foundational doctrines of Christianity. Session 4, the result of believing the gospel.
Today, the question we have to wrestle with and want to remind you guys and ourselves about is our response. So we've got God, his holiness, his sinlessness, his set apartness. And part two, we looked at mankind created in God's image for his glory and purpose. We looked at the rebellion. We looked at God's response or provision to man's rebellion, which is the person work of Jesus Christ. And so the question we have to wrestle with is, what do we do? Do we have to earn God's love and a relationship back to him? Do we earn this? Do we strive for it? Do we have to be good enough? And from the word of God, our response we see clearly is no, we simply have to believe and trust that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. And I think what we'll look at today is there's only two possible responses. One is belief, trust that God has provided through Christ. And the other one is disbelief. And today in 2024, that's what we see. There's only two types of people in the world. Those that have trusted in the provision of God through the person of Christ, they've placed their faith in Christ. And the other is disbelief, and to run to some other answer. So let's just start, just because I think it's really beautiful how Genesis lays this out. Let's just look at Genesis chapter 4 and just continue this narrative where God shows us in the first offspring of Cain and Abel. And we see this very clear dichotomy of one who believes and obeys and the other who doesn't, and then their responses. So Adam, would you be willing to read for us Genesis chapter 4, just verses 3 through 5, and we'll look at the two different characters, Cain and Abel.
Genesis chapter 4, you said verse 3?
3 through 5.
All right. In the course of time, Cain brought to the Lord an offering of the fruit of the ground, and Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat portions. And the Lord had regard for Abel and his offering, but for Cain and his offering, he had no regard. So Cain was very angry and his face fell.
All right. So again, this is probably the first just clarification we have of this, but notice the two different responses. We see Cain bring something to God, but it's not what God asked for or demanded. And then we see Abel run to God with the correct provision, the correct response. And I love the clarity we see in Genesis chapter 4, where we notice Cain's instant response is one of anger. He did this work. He put together this offering. He did what he thought was appropriate. And God says, Cain, this isn't acceptable in my sight. And Cain is frustrated. Like, look at what I've done. Look at what I contributed. Look what I did for you. And Cain's response is anger. And then Abel trusts in the Lord's provision. And that is, he offers him a firstborn. This is what verse 4 says. And Abel also presented an offering, some of the firstborn of his flock and their fat portions. Again, the rest of the Bible explains this so in so much clarity and detail why Abel's offering was acceptable, but it falls in line with exactly what we saw. We saw in Genesis chapter 3 that God clothed Adam and Eve with the skin of an animal. And then what do we see from Abel's sacrifice? It's an animal. It's blood. It's a sacrifice was given to God. And so in Cain's sacrifice, what you see is works-based salvation. I'm going to go create and make. And what you see in Abel's sacrifice is one of trust. God, I believe that what you have promised us, that you will provide for us, I'm going to offer you. And so I want to turn to Hebrews chapter 11, because I think what Hebrews chapter 11 does is shows us a little bit more clarity about why Abel's sacrifice was accepted. It says this in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 4. By faith, Abel offered to God a better sacrifice than Cain did. By faith, he was approved as a righteous man, because God approved his gifts. And even though he is dead, he still speaks through his faith. That's the difference between Cain and Abel. Not effort. I think they both put forth a lot of effort, not maybe even intent, but the difference was faith. Abel trusted that this is what God demands, blood shed. And then God responds to his faith with crediting to him as righteousness or proved as righteousness. And that's ultimately what God asks for us, to trust in the sacrifice of Christ, that blood was shed for the forgiveness of our sins. And so why was Abel's sacrifice better? Is because it pointed to God's provision. It proved Abel trusted that God would provide. He provided a firstborn lamb, which probably indicates that maybe Abel was a shepherd. It showed us that Abel understood he needed a substitute. Whereas Cain's sacrifice points to more of a works-based salvation, crops or money, something that he could do, he could earn, and he would give to God. The key is this, is that faith is confidence in God and what God will do, not confidence in our works. And so I think that's just the first hint at what response man ought to respond to God's provision. Is you can trust and believe that God will provide, or you can think it's all up to me and I will work. Any thoughts, any clear explanation you can give us to that, Adam? Anywhere else in scripture you see that kind of story unfold?
I mean, yeah, it's on every page, right?
Yeah. Like,
so this is why we believe that, you know, it is, you know, by faith, you know, that we receive Christ. Like, it's not of our works, as Ephesians 2 says, right? It's like we receive it by faith.
That's right.
You look at all the, I mean, when we go to Hebrews 11, you see the faith chapter, right? Like, yep. You just look at all these people who had faith, who had a trust in who God said he was, who God is, and what God provided for them. And, you know, like I said, if you go to Hebrews, you know, 11, he very clearly tells us what faith is. Mm-hmm. It's the assurance of things hoped for, the convictions of things not seen. And he talks about like how these, like you had mentioned, like you read about Abel, like, and then he goes on literally through the entire Bible and talking about this thread of faith. So yeah, I mean, it's on every page. And I was just going to say, is like, I can think about this too, is like, is faith blind? It's not really blind. Like, some people would kind of say that, like, it's blind faith. You just take a leap. And it's like, well, it doesn't really seem to be blind.
No. Blind would assume you see nothing, you understand nothing. I think the whole Bible gives us confidence in what we're putting our faith in is true. Mm-hmm. All the stories, even I love Hebrews 11, because are any of those guys great guys? Like, you go, some of them are ladies too, like you go through that story and they're all, like we mentioned last week, they're all kind of terrible people who fail miserably. Mm-hmm. But what they had, what was credited to them as righteousness, was not their moral excellence, it was their faith. And that's the story of the entire Old Testament. Even though the Old Testament does not give us the name Jesus, we find that out in Matthew chapter 1 and 2. What we know is that the Old Testament saints, those that followed God, they had to believe that God would provide. That's the entire, you want a summary of the Old Testament? The difference between those that lived forever and those who didn't? It was those who trusted that God would provide. Mm. And then the New Testament is the same thing, except we now know the name of Jesus. So from the death of Christ and the resurrection of Christ on, there's only two types of people. Those who believe that God did provide and those who believe he did not. Mm. And that's the world you and I live in. Those that trust in the name of Jesus and those that don't. And so I think that's just a beautiful summary of friends. What we must do is trust in the name of Jesus, that he is the one who provided exactly what we need. All right, Adam, we're going to geek out on theology a little bit and just kind of talk about some of the results of believing. So as I lead through membership class and discovery class, one of the things we always talk about is, friends, have you placed your faith in Christ? And tell us that story. And every beautiful membership testimony has this moment where their eyes open to the beauty of Jesus. Maybe it's a parent who told them about Jesus and they believed, a Sunday school teacher, a book they read, maybe just reading the Bible on their own. But there's always this moment of faith that happens in every believer's story and timeline. And then there's a lot of results of believing. So it is as simple as believing in Christ, but there's a lot of theological terms that happen as a result of that. And I think of Romans chapter 8 specifically, this chain of redemption, where we're kind of told how God sees mankind in their story. So I just want to walk through a little bit of these. And one of the terms we use a lot in the church world is salvation. Maybe we can just put some color on that word. What does it mean to be saved? And how are we saved by faith? What are we saved from?
To put it on just a very basic level, salvation is obviously being rescued, being, you just think about being saved from drowning, right? Like literally somebody is seeing you in a moment of terrible, you know, situation and rescuing from it. So that's just the basic idea of being saved. So now we put that into the spiritual realm and we say, okay, what does it mean to be saved, and what are we saved from, and then what are we saved to?
Yeah.
So obviously we've talked about in the last several episodes of this is that we are deeply indebted to God. We have sin, we have our wickedness that we have to atone for, or somebody's got to atone
for. Right.
And so we need somebody to rescue us from our fate that we currently have, right? We are dead in our trespasses and sins, Ephesians 2 says. We need somebody to change that course. We are on we had a date with a destiny, if you will, and towards hell.
Yep.
And God redirected that by saving us on the cross.
That's
so
right.
It is through the blood of Christ that we're saved
from death, eternal separation, all those definitions we gave for the word for death.
Yep.
We're saved from that. I think Romans chapter 1 verse 16 kind of shares it brilliantly for us. It says this: for I am not ashamed of the gospel. That's the story of Jesus. That's what gospel is. What Christ has done. For it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For believing the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith. As it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. So that's salvation, saved from death, from separation from God, damnation, all those things that we deserve. And how are we saved? Through faith. Next term I want to help us wrestle with is the word justification. So we need salvation, this lifeboat or this rescue floaty, the word, kind of the picture that you painted for us. But what is justification? It's kind of a big term we use, a theological term. Maybe give us a little bit of clarity on that term, Adam.
Yeah, I mean, justification is a legal term.
Yeah.
First and foremost, you know, just picture a courtroom, and you know, that's when you read the book of Romans, you need to picture a courtroom.
Yep.
The whole book will unfold if you picture it that way.
Yep.
Right. You stand, God the Father stands as the great, great judge. You stand, in the seat right there,
yeah,
looking all sad and like, what am I going to do? And like, man, I've got a fix for this. I need a fix for this. And the gavel is about to come down upon you that says you're guilty. So the question is, how are we made right? So
that's
an easy way that I think about justification is being made right before God, being justified. I hate to use the word to define the word, but like, it's that idea of being made right.
Mm-hmm.
We are justified. We are made right in the eyes of God. And so that's really what this idea of justification is this, it's a legal declaration that you no longer have to pay for your sins, but you are made perfect in the eyes of God.
And how are we made perfect? Romans chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith. Church, that's exactly what we're trying to explain in this episode. It's all through faith. I think so many times we lean towards works, and even those of us that are saved, like, I think we just have this, like, I don't know, maybe this inadequacy, or we struggle with just putting confidence that it's all through faith. And this is what the Bible tells us. You want to be justified? You want to be declared righteous? the only way to be made right with God, to be found declared righteous or innocent, is through faith.
Yeah,
that's right.
One of my favorite passages is in Romans on justification, and it's just a little bit before what you just quoted. It's in Romans 3, and it's like jam-packed with theology, and so there's a lot to chew. You could spend hours talking about this passage.
Yep.
But really, a lot of people know the Romans 3:23 passage, right? Yep. We all have sinned, fallen short of the glory of God. Everybody knows that passage, but really what follows it might be some of the most thick, pregnant passages about justification, because he then says right after that, verse 24, we're all sinned, fall short of the glory of God, and are justified by his grace as a gift. Mm-hmm. So there's the faith thing of like, okay, it's there, it's free. I gotta go by faith.
Yep.
And it says it's through. There's a lot of prepositions. Paul does this all the time. So make sure you follow it. We are justified first by his grace through the redemption, like through this idea of Christ redeeming, saving us, grabbing us from the pit of hell in Christ, whom that person, Christ, God put forward as a propitiation, as a mercy seat, if you will, as a someone who's going to atone for our sins. We could spend hours talking about propitiation, but it's by his blood, and there's your phrase, to be received by faith. Like, it's just so much. And then he goes on to say at the end of those verses, so that God would be both just and the justifier. So that's the beauty of the cross.
That's right.
At the moment of the cross, God is both fully just and
he's crushing someone.
He's crushing sin. Yep. He's just in that. And he is justifying the sinner.
Providing the way.
God does not just allow sinners to go off scot-free. This is the most misconstrued idea, is that like God's just saying like, you're just fine. Mm-hmm. No big deal. Just you're off free. Well, in a sense, that's true. But it wasn't because there wasn't a payment.
That's right.
So he's both just and the justifier. So we stand justified, made right, because God was just in pouring his wrath on Christ. Like, how many theological terms did we just mention? Like 1,000 of them. So it's a thick passage.
And that was even my very next one that you just jumped to, too, is the idea of forgiveness. Mm. We are guilty. Mm-hmm. We do desire, we need forgiveness. And I think sometimes we run to this just God who just ignores our sin, and I'll just look past it. And that's exactly what the cross points to, is it's not this like, I don't know, insufficient forgiveness. It's a meaty, it's a weighty forgiveness, because somebody took our guilt for us. And that's what 2 Corinthians 5:21, he became sin so that we can become righteous or holy. And so we need forgiveness, and that's what we're given through faith. And forgiveness only comes through faith. 1 John 1:9, just a beautiful passage on our need for forgiveness and how it's offered. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's it. It's faith. If we confess our sins, trust that Christ is the provision we need for our forgiveness. Mm-hmm. I love this term, theological term too, Adam, that I want to just focus on for a minute, the idea of adoption. So we were alienated. We were sent out of the garden. God pursued us. Through faith, what happens to us relationally to the God the Father?
Yeah. Yeah, some scholars actually would say, of all the theological topics, adoption might be some of their favorite. And it's one that's just not talked about a lot.
It's no,
If you have had the privilege of adopting or being in foster care, like you, I think you probably see this doctrine a little bit more clearly than others. This idea, like I've had the privilege one time to witness the actual courtroom of an adoption like happening. And it's just like knowing the backstories of the kids that we saw, like you see this idea of, you're right, they were without hope, without a family, without love, cast aside, and one gavel down, they now are seen as a blood son or daughter of that family. And it's kind of crazy to think about, like, those kids who were adopted didn't have blood to those parents, but in the eyes of the court, they are seen as equal inheritance givers, you know, as the blood born of that. It's mind boggling. And it's a beautiful doctrine to think about, that like through the blood of Christ, we are thought of and given the title child of God.
That's right.
Like, not everybody has that title. We are not all children of God. Only those who are believers in Jesus That's are right. adopted into his family. So I think that that doctrine is beautiful. It's very simple, mm-hmm. but it is a beautiful thing to think about.
John 1:12, but to all who did receive him, that's the idea of faith. You receive him, you believe in him. Who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God.
Yeah.
And so friends, we're not just forgiven, even as beautiful as forgiveness is. We're given all the rights and privileges of an heir.
Yeah.
Man, don't settle for less than understanding that beautiful truth, because mm-hmm. it will change you. It'll change you from the inside out.
Yeah. And I think one thing you've mentioned a couple of times, I don't know if this is a rabbit trail. I hope it's not a rabbit trail. That's what podcasts are for, right?
Exactly right.
You've used the word belief a bunch. And I think sometimes this is another place and a pitfall that many can make. When we're using the word belief, we're not strictly meaning a mental assent to a certain topic or idea.
That's correct.
And I think this is where the hiccup lies, is that when we say believe in the Lord, we just mean, okay, I believe in him. I know the facts of the gospel. Yep. That's not the way that the Bible uses the word believe. Mm. There is like, it's weightier than that. Mm-hmm. And so when we say it is as simple as believing in Jesus, that is true.
Yep.
But inside belief comes repentance.
Yep.
This idea of forgiveness, this idea of submission,
yep.
Of like you're saved, yes, from something, but you're saved to something. And so when we say, make sure we even understand the simple word of believe, it's not just mental understanding. Mm-hmm. And I think that's really critical, especially for students, especially for kids, is the idea that like it's not just I know the facts, it's I know the person, and I want a relationship. So I just wanted to make sure we clarified 100%. That, because it's sometimes we throw around the word belief and like some people take it the wrong way.
And this is the whole story of the Bible as well. Noah had to build an ark, get in the ark, trust that it would save him. The Israelites had to take the blood, put it on the doorpost. Like faith drove them to obedience. It wasn't their obedience that saved them. It was their faith, but they trusted the character of God to know that his way is right. And so they will live for him. They will do what he calls them to do. So salvation is through faith, but faith creates obedient children. And that's exactly what we're called. The last one, and we're done, is this idea of eternal life. And I just don't want to go, I don't want to finish today, because it is through faith. We all will die. Help me just kind of wrap my head around this idea of eternal life. As a result of faith, we get life. And we've talked about it already briefly. But what does that mean?
Yeah, I think we initially say eternal life, like eternity with God in heaven, which is true.
Yep.
It's not untrue. I think it's more than that, right? Jesus says, I've come not to just give you life now, or not give you life in the future, but give you life now, life abundantly.
Yep.
And so like when we believe in Jesus, when we put our faith in Christ, we get immediately eternal life.
Yep.
Which it's not just like we're waiting. There's a sense of we are waiting for eternal life, but we do get it now.
Yep.
And so like if Christ is resurrected from the dead and his life is there, like we tap into that life. And so it's this blossoming and thriving of a of actual humanity. Like if we're kind of going full circle to our you know four things, right? Like it's essentially we are recapturing that relationship that we should have had in the Garden of Eden.
Yep.
And so like that was life, was this walking with God in perfection. Mm-hmm. And so when we get clothed with the righteousness of Christ, we now get that life back. Mm-hmm. And so that's how you see, even at the, yes, at the end of time, we'll have that perfection of walking with, being with the presence of God, actually him being in our presence. But now we get that life pulsating from us. We're not just dead men walking.
That's right.
But we actually do have life, and we're not just waiting for it. Mm-hmm. So I think that's a key distinction too.
Yeah, and we haven't had time to talk about this, but we get his spirit. And his spirit is in us. And that just changes everything about who we are. We are now new creations. And so you're exactly right. We will pass through that door of death. We will walk that road, but it's completely different for those who have faith in Christ. Is we are alive, fully alive in relationship with him. And it's only going to get better when we enter into glory, eternal existence with the Father. And friends, listen to that. Those are all results of faith. Believing that God pursued and provided in the person and work of Jesus Christ. And so the foundations of our faith, That's exactly it. The person of Jesus. Trust fully in his work that God loved you so much, he sent his one and only son to die on the cross for your sins. And the result of believing in that is it changes everything. Restoration with the Father, adoption, forgiveness, justification, glorification. We do none of the work and get all of the perks. That's the story of Christianity. And it's described in the first 4 pages of your Bible and all 1,000 pages of your Bible. To cherish it. Adam, thanks so much for joining me, man. It's fun to just wrestle on the basics, but to continue to just stretch our minds and to cherish it forever. So
yeah, you bet.
Friends, thanks for joining us on this episode of Foundations of Faith. We'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening to the FFC Equipping Podcast. For more resources and podcasts to help you develop as a devoted follower of Christ, go to firstfamily.church/resources.